dimensional God. How many know that our God is not in a box and says, I am to be exalted? And we love to exalt you, Lord. And I kept hearing the word Song of the Lord. And I heard him say it all over you, Jamie. And it's been awesome worship, but I just heard there's a song. It's a song of the Lord. And I ask that we back here in the sound, we back this up, we increase it, because I believe, and it's going to be recorded, believe there's a song. Can you be on your feet, please? This is not spectator. We're still participating. Thank you. Let's participate in what God does. And then you folks back her up. And let's increase all the mics back there. That's what I'm hearing. So, Jamie, it's just a song of the Lord. And the Lord's speaking to you right now, and I know it because he told me. And whatever it is, it's going to take us, they're going to blast it wherever he takes us. Thank you, Lord. And then you back her up, guys, and sing whatever comes to your heart with everything, because it's not on the page. We want to worship the Lord through this song, and you join in. Is everybody ready to receive right now the song of the Lord? We all on our feet posture ourselves before the Lord, because we ascribe unto the Lord all glory, all honor, all praise. Yay. To you alone, O Lord, you have our full attention. Our focus is on you. Complete attention on you, Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, Father. Rising. Our faith is rising. We have the privilege of worshiping the Lord right now. It's not on the screen. The screen is good. And we love the songs he gives. But right now, he's giving a new song on this new day. Us the song of you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow, do we know how blessed we are in this place? Thank you, Lord. Wow, thank you, Lord, that we refuse and to be bound by tradition of man. We refuse, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we press through, Lord God, to walk in the full freedom that you have given us. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that privilege. Can we just say thank you, Lord, that it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many of us know we expect our God to move? He does. When we have anticipation for our God to be worshipped, there's higher worship for Him. Amen? How many of us are in agreement with that today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Wow. Should I be seated? Should I stand up? What should I do? It's a good place to be. Isn't it exciting? Exciting because the Lord says, I want you to burn for me and burn for everything that I am and I'm doing. Amen. Wow. Gee, now what? There's always more. We just want to share a few testimonies. Just stay where you are. Just stand up. You don't have to sit for a second. You'll be all right. It's good. We had a few healings on Thursday night. We have a new course as part of Frontline Training Center. And it's walking in, moving in realms of glory, healing glory, actually. Moving in healing realms. I guess that's the name. I'm teaching it. I think that's the name. And it's a really good course. I'm just going to ask Rachel to come up for a second. And Jamie and Mike, they want to just share a little bit about what their experience was that night. And Anne, if Anne Stutz can come up as well. And I just want to have you listen to what they are saying, because I believe the Lord is taking us to a new place in the realm of healing, anointing, and releasing. How many of us believe that God wants to take us to another place where we see what we call the greater things? The Lord wants to release that. I was had a meeting yesterday with a pastor, and I was sharing about some things in the healing realm that brought just tears to my eyes, because I can't talk about some of the things that I've been part of or seen without just becoming very, very connected, emotional about it. And this word that came was really strong, and it just piggybacked some other things, that there's a weight, a glorious heavenly weight to what God's doing in this hour. Amen. Especially in that arena, and I believe that we have the privilege of participating in that. And so I just wanted these guys to share just a little bit about this first session. There's four sessions, as we know it right now, for this course. And if you're part of Frontline Training Center, which is a really good thing, you have an opportunity. And so I just want Rachel to share her heart. And then Jamie, Mike, you can come up here too.
Well, Pastor Mary Pat had asked me what I thought about Thursday night, and I was just telling her that I feel like I'm excited. I was excited to go, and I was excited to be there, because I feel like moving and healing is something that the Lord has prophesied over me and spoken to me, and you know that I felt like that's something He has for me. But I've never felt like I fully stepped into it, and I was always kind of like, "Yeah, someday I'll have to, you know, kind of take that up and step into it." But I feel like now's the time, and that it was a good night of stirring for me, and stirring up things, and stirring up how I felt about things years ago when I first started learning about healing. And I'm excited to do the homework that she gave and really like dive into it and let the Lord, you know, start doing a deeper thing in me. And also Bethany prayed for me that night, and I was healed of a headache that night, which is a really big deal for me, so that was cool.
I originally wasn't going to take the healing course. I signed up for media and obviously worship, dependent worship with Pastor Bill. Nobody really talked to me about it, but I just, it kept burning on my heart. Just, Lord, I want to grow in healing. You know, maybe I should take the class. And I just kept thinking about it, thinking about healing, and just, you know, it's something I've been wanting also, like Rachel said, to grow in. And so just the day of, I was like, you know, I texted Tom Carr. I was like, is it too late? And so, so signed up for it. It was really good impartation. I mean, it was just very powerful. A lot of new revelation for me, you know, through the time, just learning and, you know, getting to take that to the streets, to work, to everywhere, you know, we go in life. It's just, it's amazing. So.
I came that night, and everything that was imparted, was really good. And, I think one of the things that the Lord highlighted to me was that over a period of time where maybe healing hasn't been a big thrust, we haven't had like lots of teachings about them, but first coming into Frontline, being bombarded with that, we're like, oh, healing, what's that? It can actually happen. You can pray for people. You can see them healed and chains fall off and everything. And so for me personally, I know not everyone, but for me personally, I didn't feel like I was really tracking with that. I was maintaining, stewarding a lot of those truths and revelations that I had received earlier on, and so coming in, if you know, even even thinking, you know, the enemy has stolen that the revelation from me, with just the reality that God can heal. He can heal anywhere. He can heal anyone whenever he wants. And so it was just really a fire that was stirred up that night, rekindling of that, and that and just even the teachings as well, going back to the basics and going further, just in faith and at the very foundation of what it looks like, where it starts and how it can happen and everything. So that it was really awesome.
I've read a lot of books on healing, but I got to this class and went to a whole other place. A whole other place where healing's concerned. And if you're one of those people who think you got it, come. I'm serious. Get the DVD and watch it and then come. And for those of you who are parents, we need to get this to our kids when they're little. I want to share a story about my grandson who was here with us on Christmas Eve too. That night, we were asked to lift our hands to God in prayer. And he looked and he raised his hand. And then he went, "Mama." Well, he only has a mama, so that's the only love he knows. He goes, "Mama." And then he went, "Tickle, tickle." This morning as he's up here with me, he kept making me kiss his hands because they were hot. They were hot. We've got to get this to our children because they can start young. And this is a class. Oh, it is so deep and so good. I mean, that night, it's Mary Pat, and then we prayed for healing. In the end, I saw things that are innocent shouldn't be there late. That was like, boom, and they were out of there. They were out, and they were gone. They were gone for those who wanted them gone and who could let them go. And it was amazing. It was amazing. Please, please join us because it is something else. Woof.
We should have had a videotape on that. It was really a video camera. It's really good. Guys, that's cool. Thanks. We typically aren't, we don't do this because we keep rolling and people have choices and you always have choices. But if you are in FTC, you've gone through the process, you've talked to Tom Carr and you know what that's all about. You are exhorted to be part of this, and you can make up that first class by watching the full DVD, getting the handouts, and doing the homework, and then finding out from Tom when the next three are. I couldn't even tell you, but it's after we get back from Indonesia, and so there will be four at this point. Maybe there'll be a fifth if the Lord continues on. We'll open that up so that there'll be twice as many people, because it really was powerful. So praise the Lord. I believe he wants to take us another place. We're heading to Indonesia, Pastor Bill and Troy, and Michelle and I, we're heading to Indonesia and Singapore. We have some very amazing things planned, and we're not going to get into all of that right now. But last year when we were there, healings were popping everywhere. And we walk into a place, like boom, people are just touched and healed and just brought into new dimensions. I mean, the glory really was all over these trips. And last year, and so this year we're going with greater anticipation, great warm welcomes from many people, lots of connection beforehand before we get there, emails and texts and Skypes and all that kind of stuff, and the Skyping not so much in that country but other countries. But I'm going to ask you to really pray for this outpouring, and also I'm going to ask you this: many of you have children. I'm asking for you to think ahead and get a sitter for this, and not to bring your children to this class, okay? I love them, but I believe that they can lovingly be a distraction for what we're going to do. So I really believe if you would take an extra amount of money that you would go to Starbucks or you go out to dinner, set it aside, get a sitter, and plan for those three times. Some of you have already done that, but I just really think that would be it. And children know we love you, but this is not the one for them. We'll have other healing classes for them. We will. And that's what we want to do, is train everybody up so that they know how to do these things and that they can concentrate fully. If you feel like you want to watch it again, you can before the next class. So there's that anticipation. So we just look forward to that, but it's going to be your responsibility to find out when they are and what to do about it. And I'm asking that if you do want to be part of that, if you're in FTC, that you do the homework. You watch it and you do the homework. Please don't show up that day, "Sorry, I just didn't have time." You can take it next time around, because this is interactive. It's not just a spectator, take class, sit and take class, take notes in class type thing, okay? Bless you guys. I want to give you a quick report from northern India. I was asked not to show pictures right now, but there have been some major rescues going on in various countries, and India is our main base for human trafficking and children being rescued out of the most vile and worst difficult situations you can imagine. So 38 kids have been rescued And one little girl, I just leave it at this, she's 5 years old, and she was rescued, now hear this, okay, minutes before the seasoning process was going to begin on her. Minutes. And you've been behind supporting this. If you don't know what that is, go to the website, redemptionforlife.org, and you can read about it. I mean, it's really, really a big deal. So praise the Lord. And the picture, her picture was sent to me. I just sat there and wept. It's 5 years old. Thinking, oh God, oh God, oh God, you showed up minutes. So pray for that. Pray for our connection with Redemption for Life is Frontline's website for what we involve ourselves in the area of human trafficking around the world, particularly in Southeast Asia. If you want to support one of these children, go to redemptionforlife.org. And support one. And then we'll take care of all the rest of that. And you can support them. And the amount now has been changed. It's lowered to get more sponsors. It was $45 a month. It's now $35. Okay? This is not the children's home. This is not Frontline Ministries International Children's Home that we support, that we have started, founded, and supported. That's also in India. This is something else. So read about it, educate yourself, but be blessed because the Lord is really rescuing people. Amen. Children, ciao. Yeah. Means goodbye in Portuguese.
Ciao, see ya.
Tell ya. Plug.
Good, Egan. It's exciting to me that it's hard to figure out all those places overseas. Where's where and what's what? When you go there, you obviously have a little bit better idea. But when we're trying to explain it to you, who is where and what is happening, from a small army of people, we're touching the nations. I love it. I don't know how he did it in us, how he's taking us to the nations, but it's happening. We should be very grateful for that. You know, we could be a Bless Me Club where we have this awesome worship going on, and we receive it, and then we have a message, and we all go home. But those bulletin boards out there say a different story. That it's not about hype. It's not about trying to get the highest worship going. We have the highest worship ascending and going and hopefully even higher because we're taking it to the nations. We're not keeping it to ourselves. So it has to go higher because we're going into deeper and darker places. More challenging situations. I don't know if you're aware, but in the past few years, we have felt so much more resistance in going overseas. Everything is broken loose to try to keep us from going overseas. Places overseas, they love us, and then they're not so sure. And you know. The enemy comes in and tries to divide partners in ministry. And it's not usually on our end. We're ready to go. Sometimes they're not ready to receive us. So we have to battle through that. We have to see what the enemy's strategies are. We don't just give up on long-term partnerships. And that's a battle. It's a battle among people here because you have to tithe your pastors throughout the year on several trips. Some of you may be saying to yourselves, didn't they just go to Brazil? I mean, come on, do they ever stay around here and actually pastor this place? Well, the idea is to train people up that we're not the ones that you miss. You know? Holy Spirit is the one you miss in between services. And you want whoever is speaking, whoever is ministering, to help you with more of Holy Spirit. And so it's a great thing for me, because I see us training up people that we can leave for the nations from time to time. Sometimes lead smaller or bigger teams depending on the place we go. And this place grows. New people come in. I come back and I have to introduce myself to a few people. They keep thinking that Tom Carr is pastor. Well, he does pastor, but he doesn't have some title, you know. So they come up to him, "Oh, you're the pastor, right? So can you tell me about your church?" That's a good thing. I don't know if you know that. That's a good thing, that they don't know exactly who the pastors are all the time when people come in. They see somebody up wailing on the electric guitar and, "Oh, he must be in worship." Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And he knows that very much. I don't want to be, you know, coming down from there and just doing this. I want to be part of worshiping up there when I'm not even leading. And God building me up more so that I'm doing new things. That I don't get settled into one thing. How many know that's a David? I'm shooting for beyond David. You know, like David with Holy Spirit all the time. You know, an apostle Paul plus. You know, if you don't shoot high, where do you end up? Low. You're missing the mark. So all of us should be shooting high. And so the last couple of weeks, you've been getting a blast on who the Holy Spirit really is. I hope that some of you were able to drink some of that in, because he's much bigger than we think. He's much greater and more powerful than we think. That's why we have no problem with this small group of people taking the nations. Do you know that within the last month or so, we've gone to South America? Now we're going to Asia. In the summer, we're going to go to Africa. And then we are going to go back to Asia. We have no idea what the fall is going to hold, but there's some exciting things on the horizon. What is he doing? Taking us to all these continents. What's he trying to do? Yeah, he wants to use us to break something loose. There are things that need to be broken loose, whether it's the body of Christ or whether we are reaching out to people that don't know him. Things need to be broken loose on the earth. If he's going to shake them, we want to be part of it. We want to be part of that shaking. Some of you are deciding whether to go overseas, whether to stay here. Guess what? You're in ministry all the time. You're in ministry all the time. I don't look at you like, "Oh, wow, you go overseas, so yeah, you're one of us." No, if you're ministering in an office to people in the Western Hemisphere, you have a very difficult ministry. And God, through Holy Spirit, will empower you to reach people there and change households. And those of us that minister here, you know, kind of in community or East, we have a powerful thing to do. All of us together. So there's no upper echelon here. Right? All of us are seeking to minister together as leaders for Jesus. That's what we are about here, leaders. So that's amazing, because it's happening. We have leaders raising up. And we can tell because they have more opinions. They're expressing more things to us. And they have ideas. And they're expressing more ideas to us. As I'm trying to get ready for Indonesia, you know, in my email, texting, all these ideas coming in. Everybody knows we're leaving. Harder to get a hold of us overseas. So they're starting to throw the ideas at us. What about improving this? What about changing this? What about getting to this? Woo, woo. That's when you know you have some leaders around. That's a good thing. I don't want to be the only leader. That would be lonely. So we started out with Mary Pat and myself. See, lead together. Then I'm not lonely. I don't think she gets lonely, but if she did, I'd be a good, you know, help to her too. She's not in here again. I did it. Oh, this is perfect. But I would rather have all you lead with us. Go to the nations with us. Take the neighborhoods with us. Take the offices with us. You know, it happened that way as well in the New Testament. We're supposed to go higher than the book of Acts. I don't know if you know that. I don't look back to the book of Acts. I enjoy it. I read through it. In fact, I'm doing that right now. Oh, I love it. But I know we're supposed to exceed it. We're supposed to do greater things than the Lord Jesus. That's shooting high. How's that going to happen? Well, a lot of what we shared the past 2 weeks is the key to it. Seeing how powerful Holy Spirit is inside of us and that He resides in us 24/7. And sometimes the hardest one to convince is the person that's hosting him. He's not hard to convince that he's powerful. He has no problem with any arrogance. He knows he's powerful. And he'll tell you he's powerful if you'll allow him. And then he'll mightily work within you, either to heal you, heal others, touch others, bring salvation to others, bring deliverance to others. He'll use you, not just the people up front, the people giving testimonies. He'll use you. As you know, your life is an ongoing testimony. It's a powerful thing. And sometimes we take it for granted. Oh, yeah, I received Jesus and I came to him, yeah. And then, you know, I had a few good experiences and quite a few bad experiences. And, you know, then I'm seeking right now, you know, to have some deeper experience, greater encounters with the Lord. But, you know, some of that stuff in the past, gee, just kind of, you know, makes you yawn because, yeah, it's just my testimony. You know, Paul never felt that way. Paul never felt that way. That guy was using his testimony, an ongoing testimony, everywhere he went. And you know what happened? There was an uproar. There was a huge uproar everywhere he went. He would go in and he'd preach in the synagogues when he would go out to the various places that he went. And they'd be mad at him. As soon as he said something like, Jesus is the Messiah, the whole place would erupt and they'd want to stone him. They'd drag him out, they'd stone him. The disciples would get around him, his disciples, not Jesus's, the ongoing disciples, get around him. He'd jump up, go back into the city. Come on, bring it on. Bring some more on, come on. Shipwrecked 4 times. And we think we have a hard time with our family? Telling them about Jesus? Try being on a shipwreck before you get to your family. He had so many things happen to him. And yet, his ongoing testimony was the thing that just blew every crowd away. He'd go into Jerusalem around the new leaders of the Christian faith and have to explain himself. Are you for real? Some people in not too long ago? Tell us what's going on with you. Well, I am to preach to the Gentiles. What? We heard that from Peter. What's going on here? It's supposed to be about us Jews. So they have to figure out, what do we do with this? His testimony is so powerful. I mean, he's hit by a light, blinded, gets prayed for by a guy that got a, you know, something from an angel. You know, hey, boom, bam, boom. And he's awake and he's preaching right away. What is going on with this guy? Who is he? They had to deal with it then when he said, the Gentiles are going to be brought in. We have to deal with whether we're going to put the yoke on them, a yoke we couldn't bear of the law. And they finally figured out a few little rules, basically, but no circumcision. That was amazing. Holy Spirit came in and helped them at a time of transition that was, if you don't mind my saying, a miracle transition. That the people who had surrounded themselves with the law were now going to step into the age of grace. And a testimony from Paul was essential to have it change. This guy that was turned upside down. That's exactly what God wanted to do with the church. Turn it upside down. Turn the Jews upside down. So they got the full picture of what Jesus was all about. That the law was just a tutor. And now we're into grace. And my testimony is the thing that is the bridge between law and grace. And the same with you. Before you came to Jesus, you basically were under the law. You know, if I do good, I feel kind of good. If I do bad, eventually I feel kind of guilty. My conscience kicks in. I feel guilty. I don't know what I do about it, though. You know, yeah, I want to have some relationship with God, but I wish he would just fit here in my back pocket so that whenever I had a little problem come up, or, you know, I was feeling sick or had a big test, or, you know, I was facing a big bill I couldn't pay, if I could just pull God out of my pocket and solve the problem. Well, see, that's very much the Old Testament. That's the law. Whenever they needed God, oh, God, hey, you know, we keep your law. We go in and do the sacrifice thing and the temple thing, and we do the thing. How about you bless us? Because we're good. We're doing good. How about you bless us? Now, he says, I'm just going to bless you. You receive Jesus, you get it all. You get it all. Now, what are you going to do with it? You get so much, what are you going to do with it all? That's why so many of us are betwixt and between, because we have so much. The enemy, by the way, has told you have so little, then you need to get on the plan that the New Testament talks about. You have so much. You have an overflowing amount of everything you need for life and godliness. Get on that page first, then realize you have a provider that will take care of any physical need you might have. Get on that page, because that's all New Testament stuff. That's all New Covenant. Get on that page so you don't have this spirit of, oh man, how am I going to make it this month? You're going to make it. Let me tell you, you're going to make it. Somehow, some way, if you're looking to God to meet your needs, you're going to make it. And guess what? You're here. So I guess you have made it. You haven't starved. I don't see you without clothes on. You know, if you don't have a roof over your house, talk to us. We have some people that might want to have you join them under their roof. Who knows? But none of us are without God providing so many good things for us. So we got to get on the New Testament page, New Covenant page first. He's given us all this. Guess what your most powerful tool is then? Telling people. You might even start a riot. Like Paul. Wouldn't that be cool? Like Peter. Start a riot. Because you know, when you're using your testimony, you're going to see some amazing miracles to extricate you from various situations that might do you in. You know, Peter gets thrown into prison. The chains fall off. The door opens automatically. He goes to a prayer meeting. They're praying for him to get out of prison. He knocks on the door to testify. I'm out of prison. Girl comes to the door. Peter, it's me. Peter's out of prison. To those, please release Peter from prison. Please. Peter is released from prison. It can't be. It must be his angel. That's kind of funny, isn't it? their prayer meeting gets an answer, and they say, nah. That's like some Christians I know. We get the answer, and we say, nah, that's not it. Couldn't be. He didn't want to answer my prayers. He just wanted to hear them. God goes around with big ears, but his hands, he just folds. No, he's not like that. And so he gets Peter out of prison because, you know, Peter was preaching it. Peter was giving his testimony, and they didn't like it. Threw him into prison. So they come and they go, where's Peter? The guards go, they didn't know how to explain it. So the guy in charge had him executed. You know, God allowed that? To people that aren't favored, they're his children generally, but when they're not favored, sometimes it doesn't work out very well for them. When you're favored, sometimes it works out so well for you, you kind of feel bad for the other people. Like at work, you get off to go on a mission trip for 3 weeks. The other people are still working. They're thinking, how did you? I can't even get a day off. How did you get 3 weeks off? Favor. Don't tell them that, but favor. You can tell them over time. It's part of your ongoing testimony. When you get back from the trip and they say, hey, tell me what's going on. You know, hey, what happened on the trip and everything. Kind of include that it was favor that got your time off. When they want to hear your testimony. Add that. It's the favor of the Lord. I don't know how I got it off either. God just wanted me to go. So Paul's ongoing testimony caused riots. Your testimony can be just as powerful. It may cause riots in the spirit. Your workplace, the people there might be looking at you. All of them that aren't believers. That's a riot in the spirit. The place you go to school, people are starting to look at you and point. When you walk across the parking lot, they're part of them. We think it's good to be called a frontliner. They might think of it as a different kind of label. Let's take a look at Acts 9. Maybe I'll get out a real Bible rather than an electronic one. I guess it's a real Bible. Acts chapter 9. In order to experience and encounter Holy Spirit in new ways, we have to appreciate the encounters you've already had. The encounters I've already had. One of those encounters, the major encounter, was when you came to the Lord. Don't ever let that become old news. It shouldn't be the only testimony you have, but it should never be old news. And the ongoing testimony is based on that initial testimony of, he brought me to himself. I was lost out there somewhere, no man's land, and he drew me in by his love, his grace. It was all him. I was clueless. If you have a testimony where you say, yes, I came to know the truth and I responded to Jesus, and you should too. That's a little different than the way God looks at it. He drew, he wooed, he brought you in. And then he convinced your heart, your mind, of your need of him. He loved you in. And then you kind of went, boy, you're right. You just kind of agreed with him. But he was the one that drew you, brought you. However it happened, if you came through the Word of God, or if you came because of something that He showed you in creation, or some testimony that you saw in a movie, or something that you heard on the radio, or something that someone said to you that was a testimony that they had for you. However it was done, it was Him wooing you in. And that's your first encounter. You want to know that inside and out. You want to ask Him about it. You want to talk to Him about it inside and out. What was really going on, Lord? What really happened in that first encounter? Because those encounters that you're seeking and wanting, they'll build on that. They will build on that. They will come because of that. Acts 9, then Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, that if he found any who were of the way, you know, we're frontliners, they're of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who is this? And he said, who are you, Lord? Same question I would have had. Where does voice come from? Who am I persecuting? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus. Isn't he gracious? Answered his question. Didn't beat around the bush. It's Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, this blew everything out of the water for Paul. I should be getting a pat on the back from God or an angel, not a rebuke from Jesus. Blew his box. Lord, what do you want me to do? Two key questions, aren't there? Who are you, Lord? What do you want me to do? Same for you this morning, right? Who are you? I want to know you in your fullness, in your presence. I want to know the sevenfold Spirit. I want to know what that means. I want to know something beyond what my understanding knows. I want to know by the Spirit, not just my mind. I want to know you, Lord. Who are you? And then, what do you want me to do because of that? It sets the course of my life. Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. You know, if you ask the Lord that this morning, what am I supposed to do? He's going to tell you. It's asking the question. What do you want me to do? I know what I'd like to do. You know, I'd like to kind of take Pastor Bill's place. He gets coffee delivered to him. You know, gets to hang around Pastor Mary Pat a lot. I want to take your place, Pastor Bill. Well, the Lord might have a different plan. Just a thought. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. They were not supposed to hear it, were they? They weren't supposed to hear the instructions for whatever reason. This was a personal encounter. When you came to Jesus, you had a personal, unique, absolutely personalized encounter. And it's powerful to share that with someone else. Because how in the world can they fight that forever? They might fight it for a while. Family members might say, no, that religious stuff, that's not for me. But your ongoing testimony of God's favor in your life, God blessing your life, God helping you through tribulations and trials and every bump in the road in life, it will be powerful to those same people that at first say, no, I'm not for that religious stuff. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. He decided it might be a good idea to go on a fast. I mean, when you have an encounter like that, he decided, I think I'll really try to get close to God here. Apparently, I've been missing a few things, like the person of Jesus dying on the cross, raising from the dead, and all that stuff that of the guys I was persecuting. It's true. It's real. I need to fast. I need to pray. I need to encounter him further. Now, there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in the vision, look at all the supernatural things happening here. Okay, Paul has a supernatural encounter. Now, Ananias gets a vision. He's going to be the one to explain it. And he said, here I am, Lord. Good response. If you hear the Lord's voice, it's always good to say, here I am, at your service. If you don't know who it is, who are you, Lord, you can do that. What do you want me to do? But some way, respond in a positive way. Here I am. I am at your service. You're going to speak to me. It's going to be something really powerful, really good. I'm ready. Speak to me. And I know many of you have dreams, visions, various things that are shared weekly. I read through them. It's amazing. But I think we're getting the idea that, oh, everybody kind of gets this, don't they? Some people feel that way. And then others are saying, I never had anything like that. You know, he's going to take each of us higher. But we, the ones that are receiving things from the Lord and passing those on, please realize how supernatural that is, how great that is, how what a high privilege that is to know God is speaking to you. There are people that go their whole life, and they don't feel they've heard a word from God. And yet you're hearing it weekly. You're having it as part of your dream life? This is awesome. This is absolutely amazing. And if you aren't experiencing that yet, hey, you're in the crazies. You're in the crazy house here. Anything can happen. He might speak to you. You might have a real encounter with him. I know you will. And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. Kind of specific. This guy heard very clearly. And in a vision, he had seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he must receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, like we would answer, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your servants in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. You know, Ananias got a preview testimony of Paul's life, prophesied to him. Isn't that cool? He knew Paul's life before Paul did. That's powerful. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, always good if it's, you know, kind of an enemy or could be an enemy, even though you've heard the word that he isn't. Call him brother. Good way to start out. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. And Ananias went, whew. I'm glad that worked out. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews and dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. And then he escapes because they're ready to kill him. They plot to kill him because of his testimony being given so strongly, turning so many people to the Lord. He got in trouble for his testimony. Verse 26, "And then Saul had come to Jerusalem. He tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple." He's still having to give his testimony just to be with the other Christians. "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." How was Paul accepted? Barnabas' testimony. "So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord. And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." Yes, they were. Chapter 22. That was a testimony from Luke investigating what happened to Paul. This is from Paul's own lips about his testimony. "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now." Well, let's back up a little bit. Verse 37 of chapter 21. "Then as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, 'May I speak to you?' He replied, 'Can you speak Greek? Are you not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up a rebellion and led the 4,000 assassins out into the wilderness?' But Paul said, 'I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I implore you, permit me to speak to the people.' So when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, saying, 'Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now.' And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, 'I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, and brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous towards God, as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest bears me witness in all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened, as I journeyed and came near Damascus, at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone about me, and I fell on the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' So I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting.' And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, 'Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all the things which are appointed for you to do.' And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood, and he said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that same hour I looked up at him. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste, get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I am imprisoned and I beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. So, ongoing revelation. He had an ongoing relationship with heaven, giving him direction. He just wanted to charge in at every place and give his testimony. And at times, as you know, in the book of Acts, he was turned away from certain places by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, no, don't do that. Here, he's given a prophecy about what's going to happen to him. In other places in Acts, the Lord tells him, you will go to Rome. And you know what he did? He appealed to go there. He could have gotten off of the charges. And I think he basically knew it. But he wanted to preach in Rome so bad, he was willing to go there bound. He could have been free. And yet, he had a testimony that he was going to go to Rome. He thought, well, whether I'm bound or free doesn't matter. It's whether I get to Rome. And they're going to give me a free ride on the prison ship. So I appeal to Caesar. And he didn't have to at that point. They were still discussing his case. First, he was taken in by a centurion because he was in such a riot. They extricated him so he wouldn't be killed. And then he was taken to the commander. And the commander of the army, he basically asked him a few questions, what's going on. Paul basically told him, hey, can I speak to the people? And that's what this testimony ended up. He got permission to talk to the people from the commander of the army. They get all riled up. They start to grab him and they take him into the barracks, trying to figure out what to do with him. So they decide, okay, we'll take him to the council. We'll take him to the Sanhedrin. I mean, he was there. He was in it at one time. Maybe he can explain to them what's going on because we don't understand this Jewish stuff. We don't understand these Jewish laws and all that. They're Romans. So they take him in there. He starts a riot there. He says, you know, he gets at one point and they're, you know, he's having a little trouble with them really catching on to what's going on. So he says, I believe in the resurrection. Why? Because the Pharisees believed in the resurrection from the dead and the Sadducees didn't. So we started a riot between the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. And of course they're pointing it at him because he started it. So the army, the Roman army, has to extricate him from that. They take him to the barracks, decide to take him to a Roman governor. The Roman governor doesn't know what's going on because he doesn't get this Jewish stuff and this Jesus stuff. So he wants to get a bribe from him. He brings in, you know, the officials. They're in a different place now because there was a plot against his life. The army had to take him to a different place. 200 people in the army delivered him to a different city because Paul's cousin heard there was a plot to kill him. 40 guys had taken an oath. Listen to these numbers. 40 guys had taken an oath, we will not eat or drink until we kill Paul. And his cousin finds out. So they take 200 army people to take him. This is all because of a testimony. Take him to a different city on the coast. Listed was on the coast. Caesarea on the coast, not the other Caesarea that you're familiar with. And there, he goes before Felix. Felix, the governor, doesn't know what's going on. Well, let's bring the guys from Jerusalem. a group of the leaders, high priests and everything. They go to Caesarea. They go all this way because of his testimony to try to get him killed. And they go up there and they talk to Felix, and Felix says, I'll just wait until the commander comes up and maybe we'll be able to straighten it out better. But he really just wanted a bribe from Paul. Paul's going to give you a bribe? Forget that. So instead, he and his wife decide to listen to some of what he's saying. It's so powerful, the guy says, stop, don't tell me anymore. Don't tell me about this anymore. And they hang on to him for 2 years. They don't know what to do with this guy because of his testimony. This governor gets replaced by Festus, another governor, not the one from Gunsmoke. This guy, he doesn't know what to do with him either. So he listens to it and says, I don't know what to do with him. And maybe I should, send him back to Jerusalem. Apparently he doesn't care about the plot. And so Paul says, I appeal to Caesar. Well, that makes it easy. We'll send him to Caesar. But what charge? He gave his testimony. Do I charge him for a testimony? And so he calls in King Agrippa, Herod Agrippa, the wonderful Herod family, killed children when Jesus came, liked to kill leaders, part of the family, killed James, the one that hung out with Jesus, killed him just to kill him. They killed John the Baptist, took his head off, put it on a platter, that family. Paul's delivered to this guy. He likes killing people. His family likes killing people. All these guys had killed others. Pilate, when you read about his life, he was a governor too. It's amazing he didn't just say, just crucify Jesus. But because of Jesus' testimony, he was so shook up, he forgot how to kill. And so he washed his hands of it, really. He did finally get pushed into sending him to death, but it wasn't his desire. That's amazing. These guys were murderers. But a testimony was too powerful. They didn't want to touch it. Maybe they'd heard of the one Herod that got eaten up by worms. Who knows? So Paul is turned over to Agrippa. Agrippa is wise in the Jewish things. He's a puppet king. The Roman government had puppet kings that were familiar with the Jewish ways and somewhat interested in Jewish things, but they just like to kill people mainly, mess up people's lives, be in charge, get lots of glory for themselves, money. This guy should have killed Paul like that. It didn't matter whether he had a charge or not. But he goes, What? He appealed to Caesar? Oh, good. We'll send him to Caesar, but first let me talk to him. Talks to him, and he starts asking Paul questions, and that's the conversation where Paul says, looks like you want to be a Christian. If you keep talking, I might become a Christian. Oh, I wish you would become a Christian. Be just like me without these chains. He's having conversations with kings and governors, so many of them over one decision that he already said, I'll go to Rome. And they don't want to send him because his testimony is so powerful. What's the point I'm trying to make? Your testimony is so powerful. Are you allowing it to cause a riot in the spirit? Wherever you go, in your ongoing testimony, have you testified to your family and they've rejected it? You look for the new opening. you look for the new way to express it to them. Maybe, like with my sister, she said, do not talk to me about this again. I said, okay. So every time she called me, how you doing? I'm doing well. How you doing? I'm doing well. How you doing? I'm doing well. How's everything going? It's really going good. Yeah. How's life? Great. She's having a number of difficulties in her life over a period of years. After 10 years at my father's death, she calls me up, and drunk, but she called me up. You know, this is how I find out these things. She's going to be real with me. She says, you have been telling me about Jesus for 10 years. Always talking Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All the time Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. That's all I hear come out of your mouth. I thought, I have not said anything about him. Other than, how you doing? Doing great. How are things going? Well, hey, I'm increased. I got it this. This happened. This, ooh, good things, good things. Didn't relate it to Jesus at all because I knew she said, don't talk to me about it. But Holy Spirit talked to her about it because of the favor. And she accused me. And you know what? What could I say? I couldn't deny it because it wouldn't make any sense to her. Because it was such a strong impression in her, she eventually received Jesus. She couldn't resist the testimony. In fact, she had a time in her life when she had a blood condition. She had a circulation problem in her leg, and it was amputated. Now, I thought for sure, natural thinking, she'd be mad at God. She had been mad at God before that. Why wouldn't she be madder at God because she lost her leg? But instead, it drew her closer. She was more open to me, praying for her, things like that. She had never been open to that. Didn't even want me to talk about Jesus, but she thought I did. So she let me pray for her in her condition. She got to the point where I would send her tapes about our overseas missions, hoping it, you know, it'd give her a little idea of what we did overseas, and every one of them had preaching of the gospel in them. So I sent them to her. She's like 500 miles away from here. So I find out later, she would go in and get an adjustment on her artificial limb. She would meet other people that were having these adjustments. Some of them were war vets. Some of them were, you know, people in great need of a friend. And she'd say, why don't you come over to my house and watch this tape of my crazy brother? He goes to other nations and he tells them about Jesus. Why don't you come over and watch it with me? Now, in my thinking, I'd think this person would go, especially a war vet, you know, he'd go, I don't think so. But you know what? They did. They were at such a needy place in their life. My sister, who's not a believer yet, is putting on a tape with the gospel that is being preached to the people that she brings over and to her. And she's going, yep, that's my crazy brother. That's what he does. Isn't he crazy? Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? But over time, that worked on her. Those testimonies, that preaching of the gospel worked on her heart until there was a breakthrough to the point that when she was invited to come to Jesus, she came. And the day before she died, she reaffirmed it. Just incredible. And I'm 500 miles away and didn't talk to her probably enough. Didn't, you know, busy life. Both of us. And yet God was so gracious. He caused a riot in her spirit. He caused a riot in the community of people that had artificial limbs over the testimony, the ongoing testimony of my life. All I can do is say, thank you, God. How would I reach my sister? She thinks I'm a nutcase. She thinks Holy Spirit is something to make fun of. I won't tell you about the Ray Stevens song. There's a Ray Stevens song that makes fun of the Holy Spirit. She played it for me one time to get my reaction. I mean, she was out there. But the Lord wooed her in, drew her in from a testimony. You have that within you. You have an encounter with God. You may be seeking more encounters with God, but you have the most amazing, personalized, unique encounter with God that can cause a riot in the spirit. And I know some of you have given up on it. You think, well, nothing happened when I told them. Or they reacted so much, I don't want to tell them again. You know, you don't have to tell them the original testimony again. You just tell them how good God is in your life. And a quick, you know, yeah, God did that for me. You don't have to go on and on. Yeah, you know, it's God, the one who died on the cross for your sins, who rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father after 40 days. 40 days. And they watched him go up, and I can prove it. I can prove it. There are sources outside the Bible. I can prove it. You know how far that goes with most people? Nowhere. But your personal encounter with God and your ongoing encounters with God, they are a powerful thing in the spirit that will cause a riot in the group of people that you're talking to and the person you're talking to begin with. And they're going to talk to somebody else. Yeah, my brother, he believes this. My sister, she... Let them. They did that all through the New Testament. Guess what? We won. It spread so fast everywhere. In Greece, they had all these idols. Paul goes, perfect. What? They're praying to idols. Perfect. He goes in, he sees one to an unknown God. I know that God! This is a monument, not an idol. I'm going to tell him. Hey, you know you got one of those pieces of stone there, and it's to an unknown God? Let me tell you about that God. He's not unknown to me. And he just used it. I'm trying to say to you, Holy Spirit, the one you've been hearing about the past couple of weeks, the powerful sevenfold Holy Spirit, has done such an encounter in your life. Don't take it for granted. It's a powerful, powerful thing in people's lives. It doesn't matter what the reaction is. It doesn't matter what their first reaction is. It doesn't matter what their 20th reaction is. It doesn't matter. Keep telling them about the ongoing testimony in your life, and you're going to start seeing it unto your household. You're going to start seeing it unto your company, unto your school, unto every relationship that you have. We're expecting that when we go to Indonesia and Singapore. They are so family-oriented. It's so cool. Because when one gets the fire in the family, it spreads to the next one, to the next one, to the next one. And it might not even be that we're giving our testimony. It might be someone's healed. Bam! It takes off like a fire. They know who did that. We let them know. Jesus did that. They might not know anything about Jesus, but if he heals, you can be sure their ears are wide open to what comes next. We're expecting that. When we fly out on Tuesday, we're expecting a powerful testimony to go into Asia. Not just, you know, well, there's four of us and we're going to go, you know, and the city has so many people. I mean, 10 million and, you know, the other one has five, and, you know, I mean, what really can we expect? What could we really expect to happen? You know, there's just four of us. Ever heard of Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas? They turned over the entire world that was there at the time. Barnabas and Mark, Paul and Barnabas, you know. They even had a disagreement, broke up, and doubled their ministry. It's awesome. Now, that's not going to happen with Pastor Mary Pat and myself. Okay, we're We're tight. Awesome. So, what I want you to do to finish up is, since this is so powerful, I think it can work in synergy. Which all is all what I mean is, if you give your testimony to someone else in here today, it's going to do something inside of them, and then they give their testimony to you, it's going to do something inside of you that's going to energize it going out to others, to other people in other places, your families, the place where you work, places where you go to school. It's you know, not on me to energize it up inside of you and get you all fired up about testimony and the power of it. It's not even up to the word this morning. It's up to each other. And so since this is frontline, you don't have to listen to another half hour of me going on about my own personal stories and about my own, you know, my own and my own. You get to hear someone within the body here testify to you about how they came to Christ. And if there's time, which there always is at Frontline, if there's time, you can give them some major ongoing part of your ministry that's happened recently. Because God's doing some things in people. He's always moving. We need to appreciate it. And if you practice on this person here, it might just kind of bubble up inside of you. And you won't be able, you know, you'll go out the door, you'll go down to the gas station, and there'll be somebody standing there, and you'll bubble over on them somehow or other. Or you go to pay at the gas station, bubble over on them, or you're in Walmart. It's just going to bubble out of you. And God's going to find a way to do it. Just to encourage your heart that I'm not just talking about nothing. Wasting my time up here. He wants you to be the mission team. Not just the one going to Indonesia. He wants all of you to be the mission team while we're gone. Isn't that exciting? Yes. Come on. That's exciting. Because if it's happening here and it's happening in Indonesia, and then when we go to Africa, and then we go to Singapore, and when we go to there's going to be a lot of testimony come back here. And we're all going to be built up and encouraged. And then we'll go out some more. It's going to spread some more. You know what? And I don't even care if one of those people show up here. I only want them to show up here if Holy Spirit is the one that connects them here. So you don't have to feel any big pressure, you know, to, well, now that I've shared Jesus with a person, I better drag them to the front line. If Holy Spirit shows you to do that, do it. But if they have, you know, they have a big issue with being drugged somewhere, let the Lord do it in their heart. You just keep giving the testimony. You can offer it. Some of you people are dragging people in here every week. It's okay. I hope they want to come. So, this is the way it works. You find someone that you know the least. And some of you, it won't be too hard. You're new. So someone you know the least in here, run to them. Or you can walk if you want to think about what you're going to say. But it's so much better when you just say, Holy Spirit, I don't know where to start. And don't give every detail about your testimony. Try to narrow it down to about 5 to 7 minutes. Try to keep it 5 to 7 minutes. You just want to give them the basics. You don't want them to you don't want to let them know, you know, Aunt Helen then led me to Aunt Grandma, and then Grandma led me to Cousin Susie, and then I heard the gospel. Just do the basic. Ready, set, go to someone you don't know very well. Give them your personal testimony and something from your ongoing testimony. If you wait, someone will come to you. That's fine. Sure, sure.
Laura. She, like you say, testimony. What's your definition of testimony?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good question.
Because she's...
It's wherever you're at in your conversation. How many know that salvation can come at any time, in any place? And while we're all sharing our testimonies together, and even bringing up that someone needs a testimony, there can be salvation. So we pray that anyone today that didn't know Jesus when they came in will have a testimony when they walk out. Isn't that our prayer? And when we even talk about you need a testimony or have a testimony or share a testimony, it's going to touch someone that's not sure. It's not sure. So Father, we just pray today that anyone here that doesn't know Jesus personally, has never invited him in for the first time, Lord, that they would receive him. And as they've talked to someone else, they may have received him today. Lord, we thank you for that. Our testimony being powerful even in this building today. And Father, we pray that everything that was shared, and we're not stopping it, it's just taking a pause. Everything that we've shared of our life with someone else today, help us realize that's what we can do with a hurting world, with a household of relatives that we have that seem so resistant to the gospel. With people that have hurt us, enemies, we can bless them and put those fiery coals on top of their head as a blessing. That's not a curse, that's a blessing. And Lord, we can do that by giving them how good God is and rescue them maybe from a difficult situation. Co-workers, those that we go to school with, people that we meet as strangers, Lord. We just engage them, and suddenly we're telling them something good that God has done. And before long, their whole thinking has changed. And they're on a course to receive Jesus. If not at that moment, then we planted a seed for the tree to grow for another time. And it to be watered, fertilized, and Holy Spirit to come in. We thank you, God, for what you're going to do in a new way, a new level, with the powerful encounter that we had with you at salvation and the ongoing powerful encounters that you've brought to our remembrance and the future powerful encounters that we believe you're going to give to each person here. And this will be a witness to the nations, to Maslin, Canton, Alliance, Akron, Ohio, and to the nations, Lord. We believe this band of believers can have a powerful impact in the world, God, on many continents during this year. Start with our testimony, Lord. We can always go to that and begin that wherever we're at in life. If we've just recently had an amazing thing that God's done for us, tell somebody else. Tell somebody else. It starts a riot. Lord, start some riots. Start some riots, Lord. Start some riots wherever we go, Lord. That in the Spirit, there will be a powerful, powerful giving out of the full gospel, Lord. And people will come to know you. People will be drawn to you. People will want to have that same favored relationship with our Father. We bless each person here. We release them with the powerful testimony that God has brought in their life. Give them all the faith they need to believe it's powerful as unto salvation for so many people. Just like with those examples in the New Testament, Lord. We give you praise. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, that was the pause if you're still talking with someone.
How many of us know that as we lean into what the Lord's doing, that he's really serious. These words are very powerful. And I know of two people this morning who have invited Jesus in to become their Lord and Savior. Yeah, already. What's a soul worth? Our time? The power is here for salvation, for healing, for deliverance. Maybe there's more people, I don't know. But there's two that I know of. And you don't have to stand up. You don't have to come and speak in the mic or anything. But if that resonates in your heart and you want to wave your hand before the Lord, we can welcome you into the family of God to stand behind you. If you're ready to do that, that's all you'd have to do is say, that was me. So if you want to do that, you can. But there are two right now who have prayed to invite Jesus into their hearts. So if that's you, put your hand in the air if you'd like some support. Richard, we welcome you into the family of God. Thank you. Yeah, we welcome you. Thank you for salvation, Lord, coming into Richard today. Thank you for life-changing Holy Spirit coming to live inside this precious saint today. So if there's anybody else who prayed to invite him in, just put your hand up. You don't have to do anything. We will celebrate you if that's what you'd like to do. If there's anybody else who prayed that prayer, Stephen, look at this. Turn around and say, Stephen, we welcome you. We welcome you into the family of God. We welcome you right now. You are in the family. We stand with you for salvation. We stand with you. And we say, yes, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you now live inside of Stephen. Amen. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? This is exciting. Wow, what's the soul worth? Isn't this great? Your testimonies are powerful, even if there wasn't someone who received Jesus. She's really delightful. She's just ready to go. But we just want to say yes, and I want you to know, that there's a strong evangelistic call on this body. So go out today and go out with, Lord, souls are coming into your household. I'm just going to give my time, and I'm going to believe it. Whether it's at Starbucks, I'm in the parking lot, walking to Walmart, whatever it is. The Lord says, the harvest is ripe. Open your eyes, and I will bring them in. You don't have to have 20 years of friendship evangelism. The Lord says, the anointing is there. Step into it. He will back you up, and you will be surprised. But listen to what His leading is. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Well, we're leaving on a jet plane, and we do know when we're coming back again. So, yeah. So, Mike, I'm going to ask you just to lead this for us. Troy and Michelle and Pastor Bill and I are... This is not a religious thing, like, okay, let's go pray for these guys. We got to do this now. We just want your blessing and your support and your prayer. Who's going to pray for us while we're gone? And the church, and continue to step into the fullness. Only part of you? Come on! Come on, thank you. That makes me feel better. All right. So, Mike, however you want to do it.
I call forth one Troy, one Michelle, and two pastors. Okay, church. Let's go into warrior mode. Okay? Mike McCrae, you are needed. Come hither. Okay. Stretch out your hands. We're going to commission them to go. Lord, we come before you, Father. We say thank you. First and foremost, Lord, we say thank you. We say yes. We say yes, Lord. Here am I. Send me. Use me. Lord, we just pray for this team as they go into Asia, Father. We thank you. We thank you that they can just go in Jesus' name, that they have complete breakthrough anointing. Amy, if you can come up and anoint them with oil. Thank you, Lord. We just break off any plan of the enemy, Father, and instead we replace it with tenfold outpouring of blessing in your name. Lord, we thank you that you not only are sending these ones to go, but Father, you are sending us to stay and lift them up, and we commit to it in Jesus' name. We commit to it. We say, go. Go with the mighty power of Jesus. Have great health. And may healing not only be yours, but may you walk in mighty manifestations of healing, that we hear calls day in and day out all morning, all afternoon, and all night of the healings and the majesty of the throne pouring out before you, that you would walk with the mighty authority of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And as you go, you will call out salvation. You will see salvation coming to the land, and that you will see that become the word of the testimony of those that are around you, and that that harvest will circle out. That harvest will circle out from where you go, and that the ripples will be affecting much like the epicenter of an earthquake. So, Lord, we just ask that you would bless these feet. You just would gird these feet, Father. You just gird these feet with your glory, Father, that as they go, they would know nothing of themselves. Father, that they would not even see or hear their own thoughts. Father, they would have no desires unto themselves, but Father, they would walk with complete authority and breakthrough. Complete authority and breakthrough in Jesus' name. Lord, we stand together as a church and we say yes. We say yes. We will stand in the Great Commission. We will stand together. We say yes. We are here. We hear your voice, Lord. Yes, Lord. We say yes. We say go in Jesus' name, that as you go, your life would be forever changed as you see lives around you forever changed. Lord, we also speak out great sleep, that in the few hours of sleep that they get, Father, it would be multiplied. And Father, in that multiplication, they would live a multiplication lifestyle. That Father, wherever they go, they would see the blood of Jesus go before them. And that they would have a pure, purified area that they walk in. And Father, that there would be breakthrough of joy. There would be breakthrough of laughter. And there would be breakthrough in the heavens in every area. Father, and that starts right here in Massillon, Ohio. It starts right here before they get on that plane. It follows them onto their plane. It follows them into each place that they lay their heads. Father, it follows them into each nation. And Father, it brings it back that this church would see a mighty manifestation and a mighty outpouring of blessing from sending them. So we send you in anticipation of blessings. We send you expectantly, knowing that where you're going, the Lord is taking you. He is showering you with his blessings, and he is bringing you everything that you need. We thank you, Jesus, and we commit as a church to lift them up and to pray without ceasing. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord. And Father, we ask for new visions of where to go and what to see. And Father, we break off any attachment of human trafficking. Lord, we just ask for open doors where it appears there is no door. I actually see right now in the spirit, I see a wall. And as you're walking past the wall, it just looks like a strong wall. But you will have the ability to see the hidden door in that wall and walk through that hidden door into the places where you are not welcome in the natural. But the Lord is welcoming you in the spiritual. He is saying that my word is the lamp unto your feet. He is just saying, take that lamp and look. Because even though the door appears not to even be there, you not only have the door, you can walk right in, right through the barricades and through the walls. We will see breakthrough in Jesus' name. That this small group, will go as mighty, mighty warriors. A Gideon end time army. A Gideon end time army. Just sound your trumpets over the hills and say, watch out, Satan. Here we come. We are breaking down and we are bringing the light of the Lord into the darkest places. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We commission you to go in Jesus' name and then come back with complete health, complete breakthrough, anointing. And watch out, because this is not church as you know it or mission trip as you know it. Watch out. Watch out. This is not what you are used to. This isn't just an easy, easy mission trip that you know what you're getting into. This is ease in Jesus. This isn't wake up and go and do and go home and sleep. This is time to watch out. The Lord is saying, watch out, because although you might minister for 20 hours, I've given you 24 hours in the day. And then I know what to do with the other 4 hours and how to multiply them. There is so much that you can do in 20, 22, even 24, 28, and 30 hours. The Lord says, do not worry, because I am your bread of life. And I am not dictated by the time on your wristwatch. Thank you, Lord. Woo! They're going to go. Whoa. And then they're going to come back. And can you imagine the amazing things? Lord, we just welcome all of the gifts that are coming with them. And we here, we need to be challenged to grow with them as they go. Let's grow as they go, okay? So that when they come back, they don't recognize us, and they have to introduce themselves to us because they don't know who in the world we are. We need to grow. We need to grow. Give a word. You might. You know, there's only four of them. There's only four of them going, you know. The four of them and Jesus. And an entire army of angels going with them. I mean, an entire army that's already there. They're paving the way and they're digging the latrines. They're already there. They are walking in. They are walking into the middle of it. They're walking in. So we thank you, Lord. We say it is finished. We just commit these trips to you, Lord. Father, that you would give new vision of what is next. Father, new vision of what is your best. And Father, new vision for Frontline, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing, and we commission them to go and preach the gospel to the nations and see the nations changed in a day. Just see the nations changed in a day. We love you. We love you, Lord, and we love these that are going. Bless them and their families. Abundant faith and abundant blessing and abundant life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we together as a church come together in the name of Jesus, and we say amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Go! Go!
Of God with you and at your hand, and as you speak out the word of God, and it is a fire to the nations, comes the wind of God that will blow over the nations. It will blow over every person, and it will come straight from you in the fire of his presence.
I mean, the earth is shaking. Where you're going, when your feet touch the ground, it's going to be like an earthquake. And I literally saw, you know, when you see an earthquake on the map, they have those little rings around it that show you the outpouring of the earthquake. That's each time that you step on the ground, you'll see the earthquake and tremble. And the old things that have had strongholds, the old darkness, will quake and tremble before the Lord. And even the crocs, no, even the rocks and trees will cry out. And any Crocs. Maybe you should wear Crocs. I don't know. Rocks and trees cry out.
This is great. When these words are given out, you just receive them. Don't be too busy with something else. Listen. Listen and receive them, because they're from heaven. And when she was speaking, I had a vision that all four of us were caught up in this whirlwind, and it was a whirlwind in the spirit, and it was just a lot of what looked as to me as holy chaos in the spirit, and there was just a lot of warring going on, but the Lord was doing it and he was winning, and that we were going in this cocoon of this whirlwind, just going right around the world. That's what I saw. With the earthquake shattering. It was very busy in this vision. Very busy. Okay.
Okay. Anybody else? We have an announcement from Darlene.
Wait,
please.
Well, wait. Do you want to... Can I give... Okay.
Go.
No, I kept hearing, like, you're going to get a lot more accomplished than what four people can do. Because I feel like, you know, we always talk about there's angels. Yeah, of course they come with us. But, I mean, you know, you're going to want to lay hands on everybody and see them healed. And I just hear multitudes. But the angels will take care of most of those people. So if you hear testimonies like, when did that happen? You know, you had angels with you. And so you're going to get a lot more accomplished in this, so to speak, small team that you are in Indonesia. It's actually a very powerful trip. And so that's just hear multitudes. So don't be surprised. And I know you won't be. So multitudes. And you're going to get a lot accomplished. Deliverances, healings, salvations.
When Mike was talking about earthquake, I just saw a picture when you pound your knee, you can see the circle. I see tsunamis coming. But these are tsunami that does not bring destruction but life. So that's what I saw.
Amanda, come now, folks.
Well, I saw a couple things. The one thing you might have actually said, I don't know, but I just heard the Lord say that he was going to use you guys like every minute of every day, and even when you're sleeping, that he is going to be using you in the spirit, and that really, like what Jamie said, that there was just going to be so much accomplished because you're such lay down lovers that he, even when you're sleeping, he's going to be doing things in the spirit through you and speaking to you. And then I saw you guys that when you come back, you're going to come through the doors here and you're going to be like flames, that you're going to be such a big flame that even like your hair is going to be on fire and it's going to be shooting up through your head. You're just going to be like this huge flame, each one of you. And then I also saw, just even right now, someone said something about angels, and I saw the angels up like just around you guys right now, that you're like enclosed, you're encircled by angels that are going, you know, they're with you right now and they're going to be going with you. And yeah.
Kimberly?
What I saw was that thunder and wind, and that's received by all of us, obviously. I just saw the entire time you were being prayed for, I saw all four of you just like with an ease, just like spinning around, and you were in such, there was this beauty that was, there was this beautiful stuff that was just coming from heaven down on you, just like silver and gold and blue and silver and gold and blue, and it, and you were just, I don't know, it was just like, it was just like his presence was just so engulfing you. And there is that place to do the work of the kingdom, but there's that place that he's saying that, you know, this is all in his presence, and his presence will somehow allow anything that you come up against, or just anything, that you will see the beauty of God be just, his beauty will be elevated, that the beauty of God will be what people see. And somehow, I don't know, but I just see you just drenched in his beauty, just drenched in his beauty. All four of you, like, just swimming in it.
Well, we just commit this again. We will continue to pray without ceasing. We love you guys very much. So, go into the world.
And when we come back, oh my, there just won't even be room in this place. Bring them in, guys. Just bring them in. Just ask. They'll come. They will come. And I was out in the hall today. Michelle came up. She said the most precious thing to my heart. You know what she said? She's saying, oh Lord. She said, this is really a privilege, isn't it? This is a privilege. This is a privilege that I get to be part of this. And I said, those words bless me more than you know, because it is a privilege. Thank you for saying those words. So it's a privilege that we have to do what we're doing over there. It's a privilege to do what we're doing here. So take that privilege and go forth. New people in the kingdom.
Okay, this is not a prophecy, but I just want to thank you for the pastors and the team. This is my country they're going to. They're ministering to my parents' friend, and I can't go this time, but it's such an honor to have you go there to Indonesia. I just can't thank you enough. I've been praying for years and years, and now they're sending you to go there to talk to my parents' friend, and it's such an honor. Thank you so much. As I was sitting over there, I just kept hearing. I remember the song that when I was in Mozambique, we always listened to, "We're an Army Dressed for Battle." And when you guys were standing up here, I saw the Lord giving you each a piece of, like giving you armor, but all of your armor was like completely different, and like I saw either of you, like each one of you putting it on and, you know, standing there like ready to go. And so what? Oh, draw it? Oh, I don't know if it'll be any good, but I'll try. Okay, no, I know I will, but yeah, I just feel like the, so that's what I saw.